I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I should start by acknowledging that not everyone is comfortable celebrating the Blessed Virgin Mary. Within Protestant or Reformed churches, there are those who see celebrating Mary as too Catholic. And it is true that many Roman Catholics do have a particular devotion to Mary. There are others who want to recognize Mary's special place within Christianity as the mother of Jesus, who still worry that too great a devotion to her distracts from the worship of God. There's even a technical term for that devotion to Mary distracting from our worship of God, Mariolatry. And there are those who feel that the Church's emphasis on Mary's purity and her devoted motherhood, good and honorable though those things are, make her a role model that no other woman can live up to. But I don't believe we need to think of Mary as a role model for just Christian women. I'd like us to consider her as an example for all Christians. When we think about Mary and the prominent place she holds in Christian tradition, it can be surprising to realize just how little we actually know about her. Later tradition gives us names for her parents, Anna and Joachim, and tells us that she lived in the temple in Jerusalem from about the age of 3, having been dedicated to God by her parents. But all we know from Scripture are the stories associated with the birth and death of Jesus, and a couple of extra bits that Luke tells us, like the story of Jesus becoming separated from his parents in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old, and that Mary was with the other disciples after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Despite knowing so little, it's not really surprising that Mary quickly came to hold a special central place in the life of the church. It was her yes to God that brought Jesus into the world. And then it was the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus that brought the church into being. So we might reasonably say that Mary is the church's grandmother. More than that, we might want to call her the first apostle, announcing the good news of the arrival of God's kingdom when she sings the words that we've come to know as the Magnificat, which we heard in our gospel reading today. Mary's words echo those of the prophet Isaiah that we've also heard this morning, and which are those that follow on immediately after the passage that Jesus himself quotes in the synagogue at the start of his ministry, recorded in Luke chapter 4. Both the Magnificat and the words of Isaiah praise God and positively revel in God's goodness. The coming of the kingdom is a cause for joy and delight, at least for some. In the verses that immediately precede the passage we heard from Isaiah, the prophet shares words from God saying, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." That's a powerful promise from God. But maybe not such good news if you are the nation that had sacked Jerusalem and taken the people of Israel away into exile. Certainly not good news if you're a robber or a wrongdoer. The Magnificat, too, is a joyful proclamation that is also a warning. If you are mighty and powerful, you will have to make way for the lowly. If you are rich, you may be sent away empty so that the hungry can be fed. What the prophet Isaiah and Mary both knew was that God sees those who are unseen. He hears the voiceless. He acts in surprising ways that don't conform to our expectations. And when God comes, he turns the world upside down. Mary embraced the coming of God's upside-down kingdom, even though it meant watching her son die an agonizing death, a death in which, paradoxically, God's glory was revealed. She continued to embrace it after Jesus' ascension, meeting and praying with his followers as they established what would grow into the church, the body of Christ spread throughout the whole world and working, sometimes successfully, sometimes less so, to make that upside-down kingdom visible in the world. From her first yes to God to her last prayer, Mary gives us the example of what it is to be a faithful Christian, listening to God, responding to God's call, being willing to face ridicule and societal disapproval, celebrating and reveling in God's upside-down kingdom, holding on to hope, standing with Jesus in the darkest moments, meeting with other Christians for fellowship, prayer, and the breaking of bread, and letting one's soul magnify the Lord. Amen.